Thank you, Lord. We praise you and we glorify you. We praise you, Lord, for this wonderful time we're in. We thank you, Lord, for this new baby, too. Praise you, Father, for blessing this baby and blessing this family. And we thank you, Father, she's going to walk in divine health just like the rest of them. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God that she's born in these times, these great and wonderful times that we're fixing to enter into, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that's going to lead and guide us tonight into the things that you have us to speak about. And I praise you for that, Father. I thank you for thank you for everything that you've given us. I thank you that I woke up this morning. I thank you that I woke up with a roof over my head, Lord. And I thank you that I woke up and had socks on my feet, shoes on my feet. Thank you, Lord, that I had all the things necessary to do whatever it is that I need to do. And I praise you for it, Father. I just thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? What are y'all laughing about? Missy? Julie? My, my, my. All right. Has anybody got anything they need to pray about? I don't either.
I have a prayer request.
Okay, Teresa. You're going to have to get closer to the microphone.
Yeah. Okay. The people in North Carolina that have no food and water, no way to get food and water because FEMA is not letting helicopters, drop food and water to the people that are, they're kind of like in an island. Everything else around them is all devastated. The roads are all devastated. And, they came out of it for a reason. For them to come out of it, God had to preserve them. So I just want to lift them up in prayer that God would keep them and provide for them. And, get them out of that situation. Deliver them from that situation.
How many of them are on this island that you're talking about?
I don't know. I know they're talking that there's already been somewhat, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, I may not be remembering correctly, like over 1,000 dead. So, people in trees, people in the rivers, bodies. And so I'm not sure how many are in there. And FEMA's not helping. The government's
no,
not
they,
helping.
No, they're an outlaw bunch. They're an outlaw bunch. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's pray then. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for sending your angels out there to help these people. Get them off of that island. Get them into a place of safety, and we praise you for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that your angels are going to take food to them, to feed them. Get them some strength, and whatever they need, Lord. And I ask that in the name of Jesus. And we bind up what FEMA's done. In Jesus' name, we command you to get out of there if you're not going to help. And I thank you. And Red Cross, too. In the name of Jesus, you leave that area and leave the supplies that you're supposed to have there in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that they are gone. That outlaw outfit is out of there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for getting the deep state away from that area. What they're wanting to do, they're wanting to take that place over for the lithium.
Yep.
But, Lord, we thank you for hindering that, completely taking that out of the realm of a possibility for the deep state. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. It's going to belong to the locals there, in Jesus' name. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father, that you're going to get the victory and the glory for these people being saved. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Lord. Glory be to God. Anybody believe this?
Yes,
okay,
I do.
Okay, now from this point on, we thank God and praise God for saving these people and getting them out of there and binding up FEMA from hindering the supply. Yeah, I've heard this many times already about what's going on over there. And we sent the angels out to
Michael. Yes. Also, there's people with guns that are looting. So they also, you know, people that are innocent, they need protection from the looters. There's also people looting. They have guns and they're looting.
Oh, there's looting. Okay. Okay. I didn't understand you there at first. Okay. Yes, Father, we thank you we send those angels out to stop those looters and poof them in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that's what you're doing right now. That you are binding up those looters and getting them out of there. Just pick them up and take them out of there. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you, angels, for getting over there and getting that done in Jesus' name. Yep. Remove those criminals. Well, what we have to understand is there's a lot of people there that's hungry, they're thirsty, and they'll do just about anything to get something, you know, if they don't know the Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for, you know what's going on, Lord, and we thank you, Father, for thinning them out, getting them out of there. In Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you. We're going to praise you. If you're going to get all of your elect out of there, but no problems in Jesus' name. All of these miracles, we're going to hear a lot more miracles, Father God, because you're going to show them who you are and the glory of God is going to shine on them in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen. Yep, there's a lot of stuff going on. Go ahead, Missy.
I'm like, I didn't really know a lot of what was going on at first because I wasn't much of a... I'm not really keeping up on news and everything. So I really started realizing yesterday the total scope of it, you know? And
what?
The total scope of how bad it is, you know? And So I got to thinking, and I was looking on the map. I knew my great aunt, which is a congresswoman, Aunt Virginia, and her husband and daughter, they live in just outside of Boone, and they have this nursery. Actually, Teresa took over the nursery that her parents had for years. But anyway, so I was just like, well, I know they're kind of, their houses are kind of high up, but I didn't know about the nursery or whatever. And I looked on the map to kind of, anyway, and I was just like praying. I'm like, Lord, I pray that everything's fine with them. You know, they may have not got flooded, but there's been so many landslides. So I called my mom today. I figured if something was going on with them, she would have already told me, but I just called just to make sure. And she said she talked to my Uncle Tom and everything's fine. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the only thing is in Virginia, there's this one bridge that she has to usually go in town to her office. And Uncle Tom has to drive her up to that, and I guess has to walk through the debris or something. I don't know. And somebody gets her and takes her into the office. So anyway, just praise the Lord. And thank you, Lord, for watching over and keeping them. And even my Uncle Tom's older sister, Lucille, she's getting out there. I bet she's close to 90, if not 90, somewhere around there. But she's fine too. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just praise you, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for watching over your elect in particular, and using this to just spur on the revival that we know is coming in a big, big way, Lord. And may this catapult it, Lord, and what Satan means for evil, you turn around and use for good. That you bring a great harvest in through this, Lord, and a great revival to the church, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for all of those that you did say, and all of those that will be saved in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. I know you can get all of the people out of there. I thank you for it, Father. Get them all out and lock up the ones that are doing evil. In Jesus' name. That'd be FEMA and the people that are trying to steal from their neighbors. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Well, you got a crime scene going on there, Gillian, California.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still hearing a lot of sirens going by. You know, I just see the traffic pulling over to stop so they could go by. So I don't know what's going on. So, Lord, I just pray your grace and mercy and protection and your blessing and your help for the first responders and wherever they're going to, Lord, that this will be not anything significant, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for blessing them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healing and deliverance and protection and miracles happening even right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Boy, I heard a lot of good testimony that happened out of, not a lot, but a few that y'all sent me. Of these people, that one of them was a elderly couple in their 80s, and they were sitting up on their house and watching the water rise, and they thought they were okay. I think they were in the house at the time, but then the house started buckling, and they said, uh-oh, this is, and they started trying to climb to get up on the roof or something. Anyway, they lost contact with each other, and the man, he got burned up pretty bad. Yeah, he got swept downstream, and he didn't know what happened to his wife, and when he finally got rescued, he told his son, he called his son and told him that he didn't think that his mama had made it. And I think they were 83, weren't they? Something like that. Anyway, they were sitting there and he was crying, you know, about it. He was probably 45, 50 years old. And then all of a sudden they found out that she was alive, that she had been swept downstream. No, wait a minute. She didn't get swept downstream. She was on dry ground the whole time, wasn't she? Somehow or another, she made it out. Go ahead.
Wasn't she, if I remember right, wasn't she, their story was she stayed in the house. She was up on the upper floor of the house or up in the attic or someplace. But, you know, her son walked in, you know, when he had the opportunity, he got to the house and walked in and saw her standing there. And she just had mud on her feet.
You know, No. She got rescued. Mama got rescued by a neighbor.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she got rescued by a neighbor. But the only thing she had on, the only thing that they saw, all she had on her was mud on her shoes. Is all that she, you know. She wasn't wet or anything. And she walked in, and boy, they just all were surprised that she had made it. You know, it was awesome. And they gave the glory to God. And most of these people did give the glory to God. Then the mother that lost a 7-year-old son and her parents, that was heartbreaking. I guess most of you saw that. That was very heartbreaking. But that little boy, when he was going down the river, he was hollering for Jesus. He was hollering for Jesus. Jesus, help me. And Jesus took him home. Praise God. That was awesome. Anyway, there's some great testimonies of what's going on. I'm sure we'll hear more. But, boy, this is a very big tragedy that nobody ever saw coming. That was just a surprise for everybody. Because they never had a flood that big. Yep. Okay, in the name of Jesus right now, I command that back pain to go from Anna. You leave her. She is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and you don't have a right there. In the name of Jesus, I command that pain to leave her now. In the name of Jesus, and I praise you, Father, she is completely healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Everybody believe it, don't you? Glory to God, she is healed, delivered, and set free. And that baby, she won't have no trouble picking up. Yeah, Missy.
I command um, I forget what they call it, but it's like cramping. It's like residual contractions, cramping. And I command that to go from Anna in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Lord. She's not under the curse, and we command that to go. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Y'all know more about that than me. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I am so thankful that women have to go through it, not us men. Praise God. That is such a blessing, Lord. All right, anybody else got a prayer request? Okay, y'all ready for a praise song? All right. Well, Missy is, that's what I know. Missy's ready. Not a chance. I'm waiting on this thing to download. It's trying to download.
Let all his wondrous works deep things made by his decree. Hear creation's melody. Praise him.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to talk about this evening? I do. Go ahead, Pat. Ben.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to, we're going on a vacation next week to the Outer Banks. And, so we go down there every year. Is that Michael?
No, I didn't say nothing.
You're rattling some, but
oh yeah, I was. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I have my Fritos out.
I got my earbuds in and kind of blowing my. Can you mute yourself?
I thought I was muted.
Thank you. Now I forgot what I was going to say. We go down there every year. Actually, hadn't gone for a long time, but we used to go down there every year for a week with some friends that we have in a church, in a local church here, and we have about six or seven, eight families, depending on. And we go down there for a week, and every morning, kind of just have a devotional type thing. It's a really relaxing type time. But anyway, I bring it up, this time because I'd like to, I'm asking the Lord to see something, a new place of faith, be expressed and be brought in, just to be seen, in our group. whether it be through me or anyone else, just I don't know what I'm looking for. A move of God, I guess, is, you know, we're in very trying times now. And the things that are happening in the nations now, it's very disheartening, or shall we say, scary for people to consider, and start to see that we have people in control that are really, that are supposed to be in control, but it is obvious that someone else is pulling the strings, behind the scenes. And, that realization, starts to bring fear into people's hearts. And, you know, there's two ways to apply that or navigate through that. One way is to close your eyes and close your ears and numb out on TV or do something else and try to get your mind off of it. And obviously that is the majority of people do that. And I believe, you know, for the most part, they don't have a resource of confidence and trust in God to know that he is in control of everything, including this deep state beast and the beast that is going to come up afterwards, etc. It's all written in there. I mean, he has it all under control, knows exactly what he's doing, to the point where he wrote it in a book. So we'd know that what exactly was coming. However, the point is, if you're not trusting and have a certain confidence that you are being held in the palm of God's hands in a protective place, and nothing can happen to you apart from God allowing it or rejecting it or whatever. And we are safe in him, in that secret place of the Most High, because we believe we are, and we trust that we are, and the scripture confirms that we are, translated completely out of this kingdom of darkness. The point being is that most people, there's a lot of people, including Christians, are struggling with that foundation, and it automatically brings anxiety and fear and whatever, and will tend to, you know, have them turn away from it and avoid it, etc. But you know, I'm sure, like everybody here, the Lord has taught me that you don't run from that fear. If you see that fearful thing, you turn into it and you walk into it, in the name of the Lord, and trust that he's going to give you the resources to overcome that fear and to give you what you need in faith to stand against it and overcome it. And in the meantime, it brings forth those fears that are lurking and hiding under the surface, and allows us to see them as well, and take the word of God and cast those things down and trust him. Even if the struggle takes a while, you know, some of these things within us. I mean, I'm seeing things now, and you know, I've been a Christian for, I don't know, 45 years or something like that. And I'm still seeing things at the foundational level that need to be corrected and brought forth. Anyway, I don't know why I got off on all that, but the point is, I just believe that God is moving in all the avenues and all the places, and he's bringing forth an awareness in people, even in the ungodly, that there is something happening, you know, beyond what we see on the news and, you know, and the various different outlets and whatever. So I just, I'm just asking the Lord for, I guess, an awakening, a revival, a move of his spirit within us, in the group, and just to reveal, his mercy and grace and the reality of truth of walking in him and with him, through these trials that are coming in. Father, I just, Lord, I guess I just end up praying and thanking you for what you are doing and what you're going to do. I thank you for the things that you've done in my life and in our lives, Lord, that you brought us into a place of awareness and trust and showing us the new just tools of your kingdom, Lord, and this focus upon praise and worship and thanksgiving that you've given us, Lord. And I just believe that it is a major, if not the major key, that you're bringing us into that will set, not only set us free from those last vestiges of that dead man, that old man that was crucified with you, and bring us into that clear and pure and complete and perfect place in Christ that you've provided for us, that ark of safety, that and that arc of power and purity and love. And so, Lord, I just praise you for that. I thank you for that, that you have prepared it from the foundation of the world for your saints to walk in. And Lord, you're going to manifest it in a great way throughout the world in these coming short days. And we thank you for it. We praise you for what you're doing. We praise you and thank you for what you have done in us in setting us free in working, in living. You said, Lord, that you are the way and you are the truth and you are the life. And so I just praise you, Lord, that you've shown us how to walk in your way in order to receive and walk in the very truth that you are, and to also in that process receive your life within us, Lord, and your word becoming, being spirit, becoming, coming in us, enlivening it and bringing us to your life and allowing us to express your life, Lord. What a pleasure and what a exciting time it is to be in this place with you. And so we thank you, Lord. I just thank you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus for what you're doing and what you continue to do on a daily basis with us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Sorry. I just went right through into prayer. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right. Somebody else had their hand up. Thank you, Pat. Somebody else had their hand up a while ago. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to go into this. What does the Holy Spirit do for you? anybody but Andrew or Missy. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead, Andrew. Go ahead.
Well, the Lord manifested his calling toward us to have a new life in Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit helps us to live that life. So I think that's one of the main things I was taught anyway. So that there's lots to the Spirit. There's the blessings, the gifts, and of course the most important is the fruit of the Spirit. So, and that it's holy too, because it's alive and holy, and it's actually his word of power for us to live by, because we abide in the name called the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit is very much involved in that name making also, I think. And so that's that. We have the life, now we need the power to live it. So you know, he began a good work in you, so he knows what he's doing. So, praise God.
Okay, anybody? Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, it just helps you overcome sin, overcome the flesh, overcome the world, overcome the old man, self, and helps you come into the image of Jesus.
How does he do that? I mean, does he just say, yank it out of you, or what? Or how does that happen?
Well, the Word is the Spirit, and Jesus is the Word, so with the Word, he does that. You're renewing our minds.
It's the power, isn't it? It's the power of the Holy Spirit
that right.
helps us to get rid of the world and the flesh and all of that stuff. I mean, he had the power to rip Jesus out of hell and send him up to the right hand of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that reveals God's plans for our lives too, doesn't he? He leads us and directs us into the direction that he wants us to go, how God wants us to go. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, one of the big things I would say that the function of, what is it, Luke, the Luke verse there where he gives you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, you know.
Luke 10:19.
Yeah, 10:19 and 20. Because, you know, it works in unison with 2 Corinthians 10:5 too. Because, you know, you get an attack a lot, and sometimes you get this kind of brain fog. Okay, but you're unaware. What is that? You know, what's bothering me? You know, and then it sometimes, you know, you have to continue that fight for quite a while before you find out what it is, you know. And even a Bible study or at a right and opportune moment clears it up for you, or restores you, or gets that last stroke in with the sword so you can overcome that kind of thing. And it's just the tenacity or the repeating of some things is pretty bad. And you have to continue with the fight of the faith and to lay hold of that eternal life, because living is the Word of God and active. The activity of that Word in us is by the Holy Spirit. So that's important too. So in him we live, move, and have our being. So that has to happen. One of those functions is to overcome the temptation. So the Holy Spirit is involved in that. So praise God. Just trying to look for some very simplistic words to say it in case anyone does listen in or something. Anyway, praise God.
Amen. The Holy Spirit helps us in our, into the deep revelations of the Word, doesn't it? Can you hear me okay? Okay, good. So one of the big main thing that He does is lead us, right? He leads us into the things that He wants us to do, wants us to, how He wants us to walk. And look at Ephesians chapter 1 verses, 13 and 14. In whom ye also, having heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. With the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of God's own possession, unto the praise of His glory. That's what His job is. He's to lead us into all revelation. He's to lead us into the things of God. Go ahead, Pat. That's one of many.
I was thinking today, actually on this same thing, it came to me in another context of something else, but it's interesting that when we were born again and we received the awareness and the Spirit of Jesus, and then we followed on in obedience, I'm going to say, to receive the Holy Spirit, or at least to acknowledge our need for the Holy Spirit and to receive Him. And there's, you know, when Jesus, I posted in the chat, when Jesus was talking to His disciples and talking to Him about the Holy Spirit, which was to come at the time of His speaking, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak from Himself, but what things soever He shall hear, these things He speak, and He shall declare unto you the things that are to come. He shall glorify Me, and He shall take of Mine and declare it unto you. All things whatsoever the Father hath are Mine, therefore said I that He taketh of Mine and shall declare it unto you. And that declaring, so what I was thinking about it today is that we can receive the Word of God through many, you know, and obviously mainly through just reading the Scripture, but we can also, you know, and, you know, God wants us to be in fellowship with a fellow like-minded believers or like-spirited believers, so that we can participate here and also express what God is doing in our lives, and others can express what He's doing in their lives, and we in turn can receive the Word of God or direction from the Lord through the channels of the other, of, you know, through other people. And but the point that I believe the Holy Spirit becomes strong in us is that not only does he take these things of the Spirit that are even come through other people or other teachers or other YouTube videos or whatever they are, and we receive those words in us, and then the Holy Spirit is the only one that knows what is inside us, you know, what is inside us and where he wants to lead us in order to see something, in order to understand something different about his spirit, to be set free in certain areas. You know, you can speak many words out there, you know, into the air. And it's very, sometimes it's very unusual what people may pick up or, you know, express. They really, hadn't thought of something, or that something helped them or whatever it would be. And you can't, you know, in listening to them talk, you can't think, you can think, you know, you tend to think, what in the world did that have to do with anything? I wasn't even talking about that or whatever, but it hit them in a certain way. And the reason it did is because the Holy Spirit is taking those words, you know, in our heart, and maybe even helping us to express certain things at certain times so that people can hear certain things in certain ways. So it's just this, you know, his life within us, him being in control of these things can utilize us and utilize others in our lives at will for whatever he wants to accomplish in us or in others. In 1 Corinthians 2:10, Paul is saying something about the Spirit and the ability of the Holy Spirit to really, cross all barriers within us. He said, but unto us God revealed them, speaking about the, you know, the depth of Christ or whatever. I have to go back and look and see. But, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, things which I saw not, and ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him, but unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For who among men knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of that man which is in him? Even so the things of God none knoweth save the Spirit of God. But we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us of God. And it's like you can listen. I mean, I listen to David as he speaks about certain things, and you know, certain places of faith that he is walking in, and really, I think a lot of people are learning, and sometimes when I hear those things and those examples and those testimonies and everything, I feel sometimes overwhelmed because, you know, I look at myself and, you know, which probably is the first problem. And I think, wow, it's, you know, how do you, you know, how does that happen? You know, how can that, you know, happen for me and, you know, various things. You just start thinking negative thoughts about the whole process. But it is God taking the Holy Spirit taking those examples and motivating us to take courage to grasp onto those truths and to walk them out. And though we stumble and fall and get back up and try it again and stumble and fall and whatever, God, if we continue on with God, I believe he gives us the grace through the learning process. You know, we all learn by failure and succeed. Finally, after we've learned, you know, to stumble, and then we get up, and then we learn to walk, and now we can walk fairly well, and we're learning to run, etc. And that whole process is the Holy Spirit taking that word as we try to make it ours, as we receive it and we try to walk it out, and until he takes us through the process of weeding out those little minute things that keep us and prevent us from succeeding in that truth and standing in that truth, and gives us the tools that we need to stand firmly and to overcome and finally overcome. And when we do overcome and learn to rest in that truth and rest in the power of God's Spirit and his and faith in his provision and supply and salvation in that particular thing, then that word miraculously becomes ours. It's no longer the teacher that was teaching me. It was no longer the others that were, you know, I was listening to. Now it has become me. It's become part of me. And now I can rest in it. And the struggle is over. And now God can use me to present that or to give that out. You know, give out only what you have been given. And this is, I believe, what the Holy Spirit does. He's the only one that is inside of us that knows our risings and our fallings and knows what causes everything within our life, our soul, our spirit. And he's the one that knows everything that's inside. And in the same light allows us to be able to perceive God in those moments as well, and to understand and perceive God's ways through these circumstances of life that he brings us into. So I think that's where I probably ought to shut up. Anyway, praise the Lord.
Amen. That's right. That's right. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to walk in that purity that God wants us to walk in. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power and the authority. He is our helper. That's what he's here for. He's to help us all the way to walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus. And so it's essential that you act. Can you hear me? Okay. That he asks, that we ask him to fill us up every morning. Fill us up and to lead us and to guide us into the things that he wants us to do. Allow him to work in us to allow him to do, to clean us up, as a matter of fact. Yeah, Judy.
I was just going to add, the Holy Spirit's the one that gives us revelation of knowledge of the Word. When we seek God, we're asking Him for things and we're meditating on the Word. He's our teacher, you know, and He's the one that gives revelation. He's not, you know, it's also, it's like, it's, you know, if we, you know, I think we're, I think it's in John 16, but where it talks about that, you know, He's just the Spirit of truth. He teaches us what is truth. So we know what's truth and what's right and what's wrong. And then He also, you know, convicts us of sin. If we've done something wrong and, you know, He brings a conviction of, you know, Julie, that wasn't necessarily the right thing to say or do or, you know, or whatever. He's the one that brings conviction of sin. And it's not condemnation. It's a, you know, it's a correction. He's he'll put thoughts in your mind about, you know, was that needful or, you know, he's gentle, right? You know, it's the enemy that comes in there with that other, you know, you did this and you're bad. you know, for willful sin, you know, we need to know that too. But, anyhow, it's just that somewhere in I think it's John 16 where he says, you know, the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. The world can't receive it. Only believers can receive the Holy Spirit. You know, so that's not something everybody has. That's why I think what the Lord says, you know, to be weak to the weak, and it's like, you know, forgive them because they don't know what they do. They don't have any ability to know any different. That's just where they are. You know, anyhow, it's just, we have to be led of the Spirit. And you know, and like David has shared, Michael has shared, and we've all learned, you know, it's like why it's so important to read and study the Word so we know what's truth, because the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. He'll bring back to our remembrance everything that He's spoken to us and everything we knew and understand. He'll bring it back. So, you know, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need more. We need more because we can't do it by ourselves. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew. Thank you, Judith.
I was going to pose a question about this. You know, Jesus sent out the 70. He breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit on them. So they went out and they did the things in the power of God, and then they came back. And they were all excited that the spirits were subject to them. And then He told them, sit here and rest a while and refresh yourself. Was He refilling them there? Was he giving them another breath? That's just a question. So that's the question. Was He breathing on them again? This refreshing that they were supposed to get, is there different levels to that too? I guess it's a complementary, secondary question to that. So the question is, when they went out and came back and were excited, and then he told them to rest a while so that you could be refreshed, is that Him giving them an additional dose of the Holy Spirit on them, so that's the question. Is He refilling them there, or to have more this refreshing, or is this refreshing, does it still happen now, and is it at different levels for different people? To be refreshed by the Lord.
What verse are you talking about, Andrew?
Well, you know, it's when He sent out the 70, two by two, and He breathed on them so that they could receive the Holy Spirit. And then when, I can't remember the verse, I just kind of, going through my head about what happened there. I haven't read it in a while. It just dawned on me that when they returned, they were excited that they had power. And then he said, sit here and rest a little and refresh yourself. I don't know if they were refreshing themselves to go out again and do more, but I was just wondering if this refreshing, what is exactly, is that, I know that whatever Jesus did was of the Holy Spirit because he would receive the word from God, and he told them to refresh themselves. So, you know, to refresh yourself, you know, have a nice drink of water, but it's the word of God. And with the word of God comes the other two, the blood of the Lamb. He puts the blood of the Lamb and the Holy Spirit at the same time. So this refreshing is when you get in the Spirit and the Lord's using you to do something, is that what the refreshing is? Like when he totally takes over and does this, and you know it's of the Lord, and you know it's going to happen, is that a refreshing, or is that a revelation from God to you? Or I know the revelation is a gift of the Spirit, so I'm just asking, is this refreshing a refilling of the Holy Spirit? Just like we were taught in Acts that the same people who were filled the first time were filled the second time, I think, in Acts chapter 4 with the Spirit again, refilled with the Holy Spirit, refresh, you know. That even the apostle was comforted when he saw Titus, okay? Is that what he means about the refreshing, that there was someone there, a Macedonian man, that was going to be a wonderful used by God to even refresh the Apostle Paul, who was in despair at the time? And so what is this refreshing? And is it, why didn't the person know that he had to ask for a refreshing rather than being told by the Lord to refresh himself? Could the Lord have saw something in that person that he needed refreshing? So I'm just asking a spirit question here. So if we're discussing the Holy Spirit, I just like to know, what was that refreshing for? Was he refilling him? I don't know where the context is. I guess it would be in any of the Gospels, maybe Luke. And is this refreshing, a refilling of the Holy Spirit? Or I think I asked a three-part question. I can't remember what I asked. So praise God anyway. Just asking a question about refreshing.
Go ahead, Julie. Did you have an answer for him?
Yeah, I think so. The verse you're quoting is in John 20:22, where it says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And if you read that chapter, this is, I'm not sure if it was the first time. I think it was the first time he appeared to them. It was evening, the first day of the week, and the doors were shut, and the disciples were there in the upper room, and Jesus came and stood in their midst. He said, peace be unto you. And then he said, in verse 21, he said, therefore, he said unto them again, peace be unto you, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. But Thomas wasn't there. And if you read further down, then Thomas, one of the 12, was not with Jesus when he came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord, but he did not believe. And he went on, you know, about that. And I think the other time you're referring to, about if he was sending them out, didn't he send them out with the authority and said, go and do this? because they hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet then, because Jesus was like their, you know, counselor. He was teaching them all things. They hadn't received that, right? Isn't that right? They hadn't received that gift yet. That was came later. Promise of the Holy Spirit came later, right?
Did you have, you want to add something to that, Pat?
Well, I don't know that, I'm not sure about the refreshing because, I couldn't find it in those, the verses there in Luke. I think it's in Luke 10 or something is that example of the 70. But the, I guess one thing that I was thinking is that the refreshing can also become a refreshing of our spirit, you know, just encouragement or refreshing of our spirit. So the connection, you know, is there a refreshing from the Holy Spirit? I haven't really thought about that. I'm sure there is, simply because, you know, we ask him to fill us and strengthen us and, you know, and do that. I think that the thing that I was thinking about, and these things, even Pentecost, one thing I was thinking about is that, you know, when we were born again, I speak in my, obviously in my own experience, is that I received, read the word and it just kept reading and kept reading and kept reading until one day, that scripture, I think in John 14, where Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And that was a very scripture that hit me like a ton of bricks, and I received that word. I immediately jumped out of bed onto my knees, something I'd never done before, and prayed for the Lord to take me to the Father. And in that moment of time, I was born again. I was reborn. However, I didn't realize it at the time, because his word, he came in me through the medium of believing his word. Receiving that word into my, and the only example I have is that which Mary, when Mary received the word of God from the angel Gabriel, told her, you know, of what she was going, God had selected her and chosen her to receive, to be the mother of the Christ. And as soon as she discussed, you know, she had some very heavy things that she had to consider there. I mean, number one, it was a shocker enough for an angel to manifest right there in front of her and start telling her these things that she was to be the mother of she's the virgin that was to be the mother of the Christ. And then she asked some very legitimate questions. Well, you know, number one, I'm a virgin, and are you saying that you want me to commit fornication and go against God's word and become an adulterer or whatever, you know, the word is, she didn't understand how that package, how does that fit? And the angel, and which is a legitimate question, you know, you know, this angel of God coming and bringing a word of God to me and telling me to commit sin, that's obviously a no-go there, you know, and so she had to talk that thing through. But when she understood that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her, then she had to realize he's always going to be looked on by her society around her as an immoral person or somebody that, you know, had a baby out of wedlock, etc., you know, and this was heavy on Joseph's mind when he found out what was happening there as well. But there was a point in time when she made that conscious decision and said, let it be according to your word. She agreed with it. She said, yes. I don't know how you're going to do it, God, but yes. And she received that word of God in her, and Jesus came in and was in her. And that process, very same process, happens, I believe, with all of those, all of us, that in some form or another, we believed that word about Jesus and we received it, and and that word came into us and became alive in us and changed us. Now, that happened without our, I'm not going to say it didn't, it happened without our volition or didn't happen without our volition. We received it. We accepted it. But it came with a package. We received that word and Jesus came in us, that his spirit came in us. And I say that in my standard long process of explanation to say, receiving the Holy Spirit, to me, I believe God has allowed us to exercise our volition and request and seek God the Father for that filling or that the Holy Spirit. One came with the package, but I believe the other is an exercising of our volition and seeking and searching for God to receive his Holy Spirit. And that's why I believe so many don't. So many can so easily be taught not to receive the Holy Spirit because of the fact that there's a certain element of our volition, which I believe God is wants us to exercise. How that makes connection with what you're speaking about, Andrew, I don't know. I'm just spitballing here myself.
Let me try to do something here. In that word, when he said, Andrew, that Jesus breathed on them, and that word breathed on means he just blew out. He didn't breathe in them. They were walking in the old covenant, just like the prophets of old, where they could heal people, they could, you know, do all the things that the old prophets did for that time period. because God was with him. When the Pentecost came, that's when the infilling of the Holy Spirit takes place. And we are filled, it says, when we ask the Lord to fill us with the Holy Spirit, we are filled up with the Holy Spirit, with all the benefits. Now, whether or not we walk in it is our willingness to give up to him our life and allow him to work in us to look like Jesus, to walk like Jesus. But it all determines our willingness and our heart to follow after Jesus, of whether or not God does that and how long it takes to do it. When you surrender completely to the will of God, the Holy Spirit can work a lot faster in you to get rid of the flesh, the world, and all the things that have hindered us. And that's what I believe. Has anybody got any questions or any? Yeah, Teresa.
The Holy Spirit to me is, you know, I prayed a lot for my family for salvation. So in Ezekiel 36:25, Ezekiel's prophesying about the Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. Then I will sprinkle clean water. Can you hear me?
Barely.
Can you hear me any better?
Yes.
Okay. In Ezekiel 25, then I will sprinkle clean. I used to pray this over my family all the time, me and my family. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. You know, and then it goes on, and it goes on a couple more verses. And then 31, then you shall remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abomination. You know, understand, I was praying for salvation for my family. Not for your sakes do I this, says the Lord God. Be it known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Well, you know, we're the New Testament Israel. You know, the grafted in. Thus says the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you, well, you know, and then it goes through some more verses, you know, and the desolate land shall be tilled, wherein it lay desolate in the sight of all passed by, and they shall say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden. Well, you know, that, to me, that's also referring, you know, there's a lot of different ways that, you know, that God is fulfilling that. One of the ways, the desolate land of our hearts shall be tilled and planted with the good seed, the word of God, the word of life. Whereas it lay desolate and the sight of all passed by because, you know, our hearts were dead. And they shall say, this land, these hearts that were desolate are become like the Garden of Eden, you know, planted with the good seed, the word of God, the word of life. You know, the waste and desolate and ruined cities or places in us are become fenced in, you know, what God says here in these verses, but it also refers to our hearts. And then in 37, thus says the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them, and I will increase them with men like a flock. And so, and then in Colossians, you know, it talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new. You know, in verse Colossians 3, you know, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know, and then it goes on. And then in when you get to 9, or 9 and 10, why not one to another, saying that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Well, you know, that's just one of the works of the Holy Spirit. I just wanted to throw that in.
Okay. All right, Judy.
Remember what I was going to say. Oh, okay. Thank you. I remember listening to one of the Bible studies, an old one or whatever, and I think it was an old one. You guys have probably heard this too, but you know, it's like when you're out ministering, like, you know, anybody doing whatever you're doing and you're giving out what you have, you need that refilling, that refreshing again. You need to replenish, you know, by the word and praying yourself up in the Holy Spirit too, you know. So, you know, you need to refill. You need a refilling, you know. Lord, fill me up again, and, you know, and ask for it every day. I think Michael said that, ask for the Holy Ghost. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit again, because I need your strength and your power and your help and your leading, and, you know, because otherwise, you know, it's just relying on your flesh again, you know, to move, you know, to do whatever you're doing. So, yeah, so I just think, you know, when you're preaching, when you're teaching, when you're out ministering, when you're out evangelizing, you know, it's like, how many times did Jesus go get alone to be with the Father, you know, pray? He prayed all night sometimes. And you know he was praying in the Holy Ghost. I believe he was, you know, fellowship of the Holy Spirit, you know, conversing with his Father. And we need to be doing that too. I think that's part of the refreshing, and I like what Joe put in the chat too. I think you can, I'm just going to read what he wrote. He said, refreshing of the Spirit happens when we spend time in the Word and with God in praise and worship. We receive the Spirit initially, and if we do not sin willfully, he will not depart. He says, my understanding is that the refreshing refers to our spirit being reminded of that first infilling by immersing ourselves in the Word. I thought that was really good. Thanks, Camille.
I agree. Yep,
I was just looking at the verses. Obviously, the spelling the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, you know, it explains that they received the infilling of the Holy Spirit at that time. And then I think the scenario was, I haven't read it here for a while, Sam, but I think the scenario is, you know, Peter preached a message and a bunch of people got saved, and then he kind of stirred the pot when he went, I think in the next chapter, went to the temple and healed that guy that was sitting at the, you know, the blind man that was sitting there at the temple asking for alms. And of course that stirred up the pot, and the beast attacked, and I think had him thrown in jail, or at least called him before the religious leadership and said, you know, cut that out. Don't do that. don't do that evil thing like healing somebody's eyes. We don't do that around here, you know. Anyway, and stirred the pot so much that there was a great opposition. And then in chapter 4, and this may speak a little bit to what Andrew was talking about, the refreshing. I'm just trying to find, the example of it in verse 23 of chapter 4 said, "And being let go, they came to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders said unto them." So I suspect looking up there, it's probably Peter and John were before the Sanhedrin or whatever. And when they heard it, lifted up their voice, and the voice of one accord, and said, "O Lord, thou didst make the heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of our father David, thy servant, did say, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? Kings of the earth, etc., etc." Go down. Verse 29, he said, "And now, Lord, look upon their threatenings and grant unto thy servant to speak thy word with all boldness, while thou stretchest forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken wherein they were gathered together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So that is, you know, there was another shaking, you know, wasn't quite the same as the one two chapters previous in at Pentecost, but they received an additional unction of the Holy Spirit, and the resultant effect was that they spoke the word with boldness. So I don't know if that speaks to what what Andrew's talking about as far as the refreshing there or not, but anyway, there's my 2 cents.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? How do you get that shaking that they had at Pentecost? They came in one accord. They came in that Honda Accord.
So they got more gifts there. More fruit, more gifts. Because they would have to accept these things by love, of course, by obeying. I mean, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and I guess he was gifting it to them because they know that they would be a good person to have this, more of the Holy Spirit, or I don't know if it was necessarily a refilling of the Holy Spirit, but giving them more function in the Holy Spirit. The boldness maybe wasn't as bold as they should have been. So I've just, you know, it's kind of a refreshing of more of the Holy Spirit. So, because, you know, I'm just thinking about also, what we know about the first 3.5 years is going to be like the Gospels. And I was just thinking about that witness that people sent out by two, you know. And then the Gospels being the second 3.5 years of the tribulation. So that's of course, with us, it'll be all through the Holy Spirit, and through the sacrifice of the blood of the Lamb, which which the Old Testament people didn't have in the Gospels there yet, because Jesus didn't go to the cross. So they must have overcome by word and spirit. To have the additional new life in the blood of a son of God is much further and much more renowned for us to be in such a wonderful gifting. So, yeah, praise God. Thanks, Pat, for going through that again. I needed that. I needed the answer to that question. Praise God.
When they came together, they came together for one purpose, right? They came together to pray. And they were in one accord when they came. And when you got that many people praying in one accord, it makes no difference whether it was at Pentecost or right now. You're gonna shake the world around you. Physically.
Accord, does it have something to do with, what concord hath Christ with Belial? And the ones who are going to be shaking are the ones infected by that Belial, you know, because there's an accord with a concord. And, of course, not only the accord, but, or the concord, but the communion of the light and the fellowship of the righteousness and the portion of believer and the agreement with the sanctuary. And of course, there's the walking with the Father there in the sanctuary. So praise and glory to God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the one accord is, it's a lot to that one accord, that concord, that agreement, that faithful prayer that we are praying to our Lord. You know,
yes.
We know the Lord knows everything and knows everything that goes on, so we know that our prayer is heard, because nothing goes by the Lord that He doesn't know. So praise God.
Amen. When you've got that many people together seeking the Lord with all your heart, He's going to honor that. And what happened? How many people were saved that day? Yeah. Golly. Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
I was just thinking that, you know, that those verses there in Acts, the last in chapter 4, you know, I kind of brushed over that real quick, you know, where basically they came together after being feeling the massive opposition, excuse me, of the government, of the society around them, of, you know, I'm going to say the governing structure that they had always been under, and they saw that this structure was against them who has, you know, entered into new life in Christ, the new covenant, received Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, etc. And, you know, probably to a certain degree, they're probably thinking, wait a minute, what's going on here, you know? But they didn't even let it stop them. They went directly to God and were praying for boldness to overcome this thing, you know? And that coming together, in other words, they weren't taking this opposition as being the final authority here. They weren't saying, oh, wow, well, we better shut up because these guys are, you know, the whole world around us doesn't like this. No, they didn't do that. They said, God, we need power. We need something else. Boldness to what? Speak your word. You know, because your word's what's, you know, making the big impact here. And of course, God honored that prayer. But the thing that I'm thinking is that, you know, when I mentioned that, that subtle difference between being born again and receiving Jesus' Spirit, like every baby born, you didn't have much to say about anything. You came, you know, you were birthed into the world and you are what you are, and you got the package you got. But the Holy Spirit, to a certain degree, there's an exercising of our own volition to receive. And even in this example of Pentecost, Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem. So they obeyed him and they waited in Jerusalem and prayed. Now, I'm sure they probably didn't have much of a realization of what was going to happen, but they were just in obedience, and it came. God, boom, hit them with a Holy Spirit and filled them up. Well, to a certain degree, that came without, you know, at least it doesn't say much about it in the scripture, but it came without their own personal volition being connected with that. But the second time, on the next, in chapter 4, they had already received the Holy Spirit and then gone out, received all the opposition, and then they came to God and they asked for more. They were certainly exercising their volition then. There's no doubt about that. They came together and they said, God, you created the whole world. You did this whole thing. This world is now fighting you. We need your Spirit. You know, that type of thing. And then I go back and use the same type and example that Teresa brought up in Ezekiel 36. And that last verse, what does that say? What does it say down there in that last verse? Thus saith the Lord, in verse 37, thus saith the Lord. He, up above in the verses above, he poured out his Spirit. Why? Because he is going to get honor for his name, because the people that were, that he birthed into the plan, so to speak, weren't able to do it. And not only weren't able, they turned away from him. But God, in his mercy, is going to bring about this movement because he's going to do it himself in them, and he's going to sprinkle clean water upon these people, and then he's also going to give them a new heart and a new spirit. But in verse 37, he says, after he goes through all this litany of, you know, of stuff here, he says, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, for this filling, this promise, this thing, moreover, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them like a flock. This filling of the Holy Spirit that he's speaking about is something that's going to happen at the end, and it will come as people are exercising their volition to receive something knew of the Spirit of God or to receive this of the Spirit of God. It is my personal belief, whether this is true or not, I leave it up to you to figure out. But I believe that this is a type for us who have received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And I'm speaking as us as personal individuals who have received the Spirit, learned to walk in the Spirit, learned to go through this process of life, and maybe come up to a certain realization that I don't have what it takes to make it through. I don't have what it takes to overcome what is coming upon us. But God, you brought us into this thing. You brought us into this world. And only you can give us that power and that Spirit, that Holy Spirit that we've all received. But is there another inquiry that we as God's people can come together in one accord and expect God to pour out this power, this blessing, this that he is waiting to be inquired of? Is that something that is for our time? Is that something for us right now? Are we to be coming together and saying, God, behold their threatenings, and yet do we have what it takes to make this happen, to overcome and become victorious, to be the bold people that is required to take this beast kingdom down that we're facing right now? So Andrew brought questions up. I thought maybe I would generate a few myself. So there we go.
It seems like, and I'll say this, it seems like when we talk about the Holy Spirit, there is an anointing in here. And the Holy Spirit likes this. He likes us to get things straight with him. And the key for all of us to experience the leading of the Holy Spirit is to be willing to allow him to do that. And you've heard me say before, the key to entering into the spiritual realm is praying in the Spirit. That and studying the Word, but praying in the Spirit, it always builds up the Spirit of God in you and stirs him up in you so that you can listen to the Lord. I can tell you at the end, this double anointing that he's going to give, it's going to be a powerful thing. You talk about shaking. You're going to see shaking. You're going to see some shaking. You're not only going to see shaking, you're going to see shaking in people when you walk by. If you're willing to give up everything, if we're all willing to surrender everything to the Lord, what's important to you? You know? Well, what's important to me right now, this moment, is being filled with the Holy Spirit and doing what God wants me to do, being led by the Spirit of God, doing what Jesus said. What did he say? I think it's Andrew mentioned it a while ago. What did Jesus say? He said, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me. And that's where we have to be used by him. He said in Acts 2:17, and in the last days it shall be God declares that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. But not only that, it's going to be a lot more than that. He's going to pour out his spirit upon us. And when he pours out his spirit upon us, you're going to be bold as a lion. You're going to be speaking things that the Lord tells you to speak that you never thought you'd ever do. Because you want to do what God wants you to do. You want to please him. And when you do please him, he's going to bless your socks off. He's going to bless your flesh off. That's what he's going to bless. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Go ahead, Judy.
Just what you're talking about, Michael, was just coming to me. It's like we need a revival and, stir us all up, Holy Spirit. But that word refreshing that Andrew was talking about, I just felt like just to look to see what the meaning of that. I just looked it up in the Greek, and it is a recovering of breath, that is figuratively revival, refreshing, a revival. And we need that every day because, for me, the world, the stuff that's happening in the world, when you spend any time looking at this stuff, it kind of brings you down a little bit. If you start looking at yourself or that kind of thing, it's like, it draws us away from the truth, and we do need a revival. And I think that's why we need to be in the Word more, because it does revive us and it does refresh us, and it does, we get more closer to the Lord. When, if you're in the presence of the Lord, like fullness of joy, more of the Holy Ghost. So, Lord, bring us there.
Amen. 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 I can tell you this, if we all surrender to this, to the Holy Spirit, to God completely, you're going to walk in that realm that not very few people have walked in, because they didn't want to give it all up. They didn't want to give up. I can tell you, okay, listen to me. They didn't want to give up their families. They didn't want to give up their cars. They didn't want to give up the world. They didn't want to give up this. They didn't want to give up that. Because it's too precious to them. What's precious to you is the one who gave you life. That's what's precious to you. And we can help other people by doing it in a way that has never been done this way before. Because when he pours out that double anointing, woo, glory to God. My. Go ahead, Andrew.
There are some really nice verses there in 1 John chapter 5, where it says, the three that bear record. So, I don't want to sound like a broken record here or anything, but there's the Spirit, there's the blood, and there's the water. So, do these bounce off of each other? Or, because, if you're going to, have the word, it's with power. It's got to be with power because it says so. Without that power, we would have never been saved. in Luke 1:37, there's power. In John, Romans 1:16 and 17, there's power. There's power in, 2 Peter 1:3-4. So there's power in these verses. There's power in one of the records. So how do you play three records at once? You got to get three record players. There's the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And then of course, we tend to forget about how he says that the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So there's the record again, So do we only speak the word? but he tells us that we're supposed to speak as oracles of God. So, anyways, it's just so exciting that there's a witness there too, and that those verses in 1 John chapter 5, you're supposed to be that witness. If you're that witness, then it's how on these three records, you know, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree. So there's an agreement here in one. So there's the one you have. Not only is this love so powerful to give you, obedience, you know, as Jesus said, you know, if any love me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with you. We got nothing to say about it, but we want to cooperate. You know, if there's an abode, there's an abider. So we have to abide in this Father and Son. And the Father has omnipresent Holy Spirit, you know. It's omnipresent, but how come it's so difficult to have it enacted upon us if it's everywhere? And of course, Jesus is multiplier present within all of us. So it's just exciting to think about. That's all I'm saying.
It is.
And, you know, I just whenever I get down in the dumps, I go to 1 John chapter 5. So if anyone needs some encouragement, find some word somewhere that's going to bring you back to where you're supposed to be and stable you, because sometimes you need that really much, a lot. So in these days especially, you know, you have to endure unto the end. And it's the love that never fails. You know, you don't want your love waxing cold. That he that endureth to the end, shall be saved. So there is an obedience there that seems so powerful, that never fails, you know, in the love chapter. And the first fruit of the Holy Spirit, you know, the first fruit of God's Spirit, it's his word, it's his blood, and it's his spirit. So it's his water, his blood, and his spirit, and it's love. And we have to love the brethren. We have to love our, you know, it's good to have friends, you know, our friend in Jesus and stuff. And it's just so exciting. Praise God.
Amen. I want to pray now. Y'all ready to get some filled up with the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit? Be led by the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit that does it all. Lord God, I praise you, Father, and I thank you, Lord, that you have made available to us the Spirit of God for each and every one of us. And I ask, Father, that you fill us up to overflowing, Lord. We invite, we receive, we welcome the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us, Lord. May he fill our hearts and our minds and our lives. Move in, Holy Spirit. Bring a fresh wind of change in our lives. Glory be to God. Bring a mighty and powerful change in our spirits. And we need you, Holy Spirit. We need you to help us walk in the Spirit, talk in the Spirit. And we thank you for it, Lord, so that we will not fulfill the lusts of our flesh. You can help us with that, Father God. And we praise you for that. Lord Jesus, may we be led by the Spirit of God. May we live in the Spirit of God and produce the fruit of the Spirit. Praise be to God forevermore. And I pray that our entire lives as believers is determined, influenced, and guided by the Holy Spirit. Praise be to God. And we pray that we'd have a strong and lasting encounter with the Holy Spirit every day of our life. And Lord Jesus, we're believing for an encounter. We're believing for an experience for the Holy Spirit in our homes and our families. Glory be to God. And may he take over just as he did on the day of Pentecost. that they would shape the very lives and the foundations of each and every one of us, Father God, in a way like we've never had it before. That great suddenly that they experienced on Pentecost, and I praise you, Father, for letting us all experience it. Move in, Holy Spirit, Lord of God. Move in like a mighty rushing wind. Glory be to God. Sweep away every evil demon that's in our lives that has tried to torment us and guide us. And I thank you, Father, for doing it. Cleaning us up, Lord. Infirmity, the diseases has to go as well because they can't stand the presence of the Holy Ghost. And I praise you, Father, for that. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring wisdom too with your Spirit. The great revelatory wisdom that you can only do, Lord, and I praise you for that. And I pray that we will have an encounter like we've never forget in Jesus' name, an encounter that'll be life-changing through us, that we would be such a light to the world that they would want to know more about what we know. And I praise you, Father, that you're doing it right now. Holy Spirit, give us the resilience to remain strong in the Lord. Give us a tenacious spirit that perseveres and fights to pray even when we endure difficulties. Glory be to God. Nothing can stop us now because we are filled. Help us to remain strong. Help us to have that tenacity that you want us to have in our prayer life, Lord, and I praise you for it. Show us how to let go of everything that harms us, Lord. Everything that hinders us. Everything that pulls us back. Lord, take it away from us in Jesus' name. And we praise you for that. Include friends, people, anything, Lord, that hinders our walk with you, Father. Let it go from us. And we praise you for it, Father. Move into our hearts like a mighty rushing wind and take everything toxic. Take it away, Lord. Everything ungodly, take it away. Everything that leads to spiritual demise, leave it alone. Get it out of us, Lord, and I praise you for that. Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would set our hearts on things above, on the things above, and set our hearts on Jesus Christ, set our hearts on the kingdom of God. And I pray that we would experience a sudden movement in our lives. And may there be a sudden transformation in our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Set our hearts on fire, Lord. Set it on fire, Lord. Hear us, Lord, because we need a closer walk with you. We need that be with you, Lord, kind of a walk. And I praise you for it, Lord. And I thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, it is done by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name. Do y'all receive that? Glory be to God. I do. I thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you are cleaning us up, that you've taken away everything that has tormented us and hindered our walk with you, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that we are excited about the Lord. In Jesus' name, from this day forth, that you'll remember, that we'll all remember that we were set free by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Anybody want to add on to it?
I receive it in Jesus' mighty
Amen.
Name.
Lord of God.
Praise
Lord
you, Lord. God. Thank you, Father. Ooh. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your willingness to fill us, Lord. We praise you and we thank you in advance. We receive it now in Jesus' mighty name, according to your word, Lord, according to these words that we have spoken today, tonight, in this meeting of our request and our desire and our heart being exercising our volition, our faith, and our desire for you, Lord. And we just call out for you, Lord, to fill us to do what we need to do, Lord, to honor you and give your you honor and glory and to confess your name in the midst of the mighty opposition that this world is casting upon us. So I thank you, Father. I thank you that it is done according to our prayer in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Praise
thank
you, Lord.
You, Jesus, glory be to God. All right. Anybody else before we close out? I hate to close out when the Holy Spirit is moving now like this. This is awesome. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Whew. My. Where'd Geneva go? She left, didn't she? Yeah, dude.
Yeah, she had to put Nadia's down to bed, and it was getting late for her, so. She's going to try to come back again, too, when it works for her.
All right. That'd be great. All right. Y'all be blessed. You know, there won't be a stream tomorrow night. All right. Y'all be blessed.